Book of Galatians chapter number 1 this morning. Book of Galatians chapter 1. We're going to read the first 9 verses of this chapter. We're going to have a little English lesson this morning. How many did well in English class? Oh man, I got my work cut out. The only one I'm really scared of is Julia over there, because when she reads, she doesn't read like most people. She reads proofreading all the time. You still do that? She told me she used to read 5 words a minute because she was correcting all the English. Yeah, I know. All righty. Galatians chapter number 1. Let me get serious here. It says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. That might sound like a greeting, which it certainly is, but what a greeting. Grace and peace. And he goes on to say about Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. We have the marvelous privilege to open the Word of God. Our Father, I pray that you might teach us really valuable truth. Bless and work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are 3 kinds of words with multiple meanings. You have probably heard the term homonyms. A homonym is something that has the same spelling, but the pronunciation is different. Same pronunciation, but has different meanings. I'm getting mixed up. So the spelling and pronunciation is the same, but has different meanings. For instance, crane. The bird is a crane. Or they had to use a crane to lift the object. Or here's another, she had to crane her neck to see the movie. The word date, think about that. Favorite fruit is to eat is a date. And Joe took Alexandria out on a date. Not to date myself. I'm reading this, but I remember listening to radio shows as a kid. That's not true. Engaged. They got engaged on March 1st. The students were engaged in the presentation. You notice there's differences. Foil, think of that. Please wrap the sandwich in aluminum foil. Or they learned about the role of a dramatic foil in English class. The word leaves. The children love to play in the leaves. They do not like it when father has to leave for work. What's your net gain for the year? And the net another way. Crabbing is easier if you bring a net along. Think about the word point. A pencil has a point. It's not polite to point at people. Some things are different, but yet the same. Think of the word rose. My favorite flower is a rose. He quickly rose from his seat. There's another type of word that's called a homophone. That's a different message, a different day. It has the same pronunciation, but a different spelling and different meaning. For instance, the word alter, you can spell it with an E-R or an A-R. Did you alter or change your identity? Or we worship the Lord at the altar? Think of the word ate for a second. There's the A-T-E. I ate 3 large pizzas. Or the number 8. There were 8 of us in total. the word band. Let's go to my favorite band and listen to them. And we band together in support of her new music. The word blue. There's two spellings of that. Caleb blew out his candle, and I can't believe he brought bought blue suede shoes. I may remember that one. You old Elvis fans. But there's differences in words. There's another type of word, and that is, well, if I can find it. I have all of these words for different ones. It's something else. But these are homographs. It means they have the same spelling but different pronunciation and meanings. The word bass. They caught a bass on their fishing trip. Mike says yes. But then we also say his voice belongs in the bass section. The word bow. She put a bow in her daughter's hair, but please bow down to the emperor. They are spelled the same. English language. Do you wonder why it's so hard for people to learn it? D-O-E-S. What is it? He does his homework every night? Or there are many bucks and does in the forest? The word minute. It's only a minute problem. Wait a minute. R-E-A-D. She's going to read the book later. He read the book last night. Word sewer. The rats crept through the sewer. She's a fine sewer. And fix my torn, I should say, jeans. Why do you folks go out and buy jeans that are already wore out? I haven't figured that out. When we come to the Word of God, we must remember that there are word and sentence structures that are very important. And so we have to learn, in some cases, what is he speaking of? Because it might be pronounced the same, but it's a different word. Or it might be pronounced different with the same spelling. Think about this with punctuation. See if you can imagine this. The criminal, says the judge, should be hanged. What's that telling you? Who should be hanged? The criminal. The criminal says the judge should be hanged. The only difference between those two sentences is the placement of the comma. Are commas important? They really are. Is that why Jesus talked about the dot and the tittle? I believe so. In our text, we have a very stern warning as to the preaching of any other gospel. And so I believe it's very necessary for us to know the exact meaning of this word gospel that is presented to us here. And in order for us to understand this, or if we do understand, it's going to immensely help us to understand how God deals with different people at different times. Now we know this, God has never changed. Isn't that true? He changes not. But we do also know from the Word of God that he changes the means in which he does things. Aren't you glad that we are now a chosen people as Gentiles and not just the Jew? There was a change of emphasis from the nation to the church. There's different purposes that God has. And by the way, this is true of the Gospels. We find that there are at least two very specific Gospels mentioned in Scripture. And perhaps even a more appropriate number, if we were to study that far, would be five. The Bible speaks of the Gospel of grace. Thank God for that. We'll look at that more closely. It talks about the gospel of the kingdom, and we're going to study that right away. But also, we're not going to look at, but it talks about the gospel to Abraham in Galatians 3. In Hebrews 4, it talks about the gospel that's preached to the Jews in the wilderness. And then in Revelation 14, it talks about the everlasting gospel, which is very similar to the gospel of the kingdom. And if we as Christians fail to recognize the significant fact that there are many words that we need to see in context, or we'll have the wrong idea of the truth God wants us to have. For instance, this verse might trouble you a little bit unless you look at the context. In Matthew 24, verse 13, it says, "But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved." That almost sounds like if we hold out and we hold true, then salvation will be ours. And we think in terms of spiritual salvation. But soul salvation is not based upon what we do. "For by grace are ye saved through faith." Is that not true? "Whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved." But when we look at the context in Matthew chapter 24, it's talking about the physical calamities upon the Jews and those who endure it, and specifically the torments that take place with the Antichrist and so forth. They'll be saved from the physical persecution. And if we fail to recognize the difference between the gospel of the kingdom and the gospel of grace, which I think is very important to understand, our theology will suffer. You say, "What are you talking about?" Well, I hope we can make this clear. Since we're not under the gospel of the kingdom, if our preaching elevates it, perhaps we come under the curse of God as per our text. And so verse number 6, by the way, makes it very clear which gospel he is referring to. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into" what? "The grace of God unto another gospel." And so he's talking about the gospel of the grace of God. Let us look at this, because we find the Lord Jesus Christ, it tells us that he preached the gospel. The first use of the word is in Matthew chapter 20, or chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." So here we find the terms, the gospel of the kingdom. You say, what's so important about this? Well, I hope you can see. This is the very first time it's used. But think about this for a moment. If we're going to try to figure out what gospel means to start with, in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says, "And how shall they preach except to be sent as it is written?" What does that mean if it says "as it is written"? As it is written. What's that mean? As it is written. It means it's written somewhere else. Okay, so he's referring back to what we call the Old Testament. And so he says, "How shall they preach except to be sent as it is written?" He's referring back, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." The gospel of peace. Well, let's think about it for a moment. And in Isaiah 52, verse 7, it says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bringeth good tidings." Gospel. That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, "Thy God reigneth." Wow. A very similar one is in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 15, where it says, "Behold, upon the mountains the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace." So the Old Testament is defining the gospel as good tidings. Aren't you glad to get good news? I mentioned Sunday school, but wouldn't it be nice if newscasters went back to what they used to do? Instead of putting all the bad news on, they put some good news on? Wouldn't it be great to find out, rather than "We got this one with coronavirus and it's going to plague our entire country. By the way, we had swine flu. It was much worse to this point." Rather than focus upon the many people who are trying to fix and to alleviate the problem and so forth, and realizing we have a God that can do anything, we like good tidings. And thank God for the good tidings that we have in the gospel. But the gospel that you and I today preach is not the same as that of the Lord Jesus. Remember what it says, Luke 16, verse 16, "The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it." What was the gospel? It was that men might know that the kingdom was at hand. and that they should repent. In Mark chapter 1, verse 14 says, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time was fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. If the kingdom is at hand, what is a kingdom? It's the domain of a king. Who was the king? He was at hand, but they rejected him. But still, he preached the gospel of the kingdom. It was the gospel of the kingdom that the disciples were commanded to preach. He says, as you go preach, say, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, in my own personal study, I make a division between the two different kingdoms, for we find the Bible speaks of the kingdom of heaven and also the kingdom of God. When I look at that, I see it as a little bit different because I believe the kingdom of heaven is earthly, and one day he will be the King of Kings. It's this kingdom I believe that Jesus is preaching of. By the way, you look and say, kingdom of heaven. Say, what in the world? Where'd you get that idea that's right here? Because God said in the beginning what? He created the heavens and the earth. What was he referring about with heavens? Well, we find Paul talks about that he was caught up into the third heaven. And so it becomes pretty obvious to me, the first heaven's our atmosphere, the next one's outer space, and the last one's the abode of God. That seems to make sense in my own mind. And so Jesus came preaching the kingdom of heaven, being at hand. He taught his disciples to preach it. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom, and according to John chapter 3, we enter it by the new birth. So we have the gospel of the kingdom of God. And he says, you need to be careful what gospel you're preaching. You see, some things change after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, did they not? Do we not know and understand that after Jesus died, the disciples now began to understand what he meant when he said that he was going to die and spend 3 days and three nights in the grave? Remember when he was telling about his death, it was going to be very imminent, and Peter said, that won't be so. And what Jesus said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. They didn't understand or believe the gospel that we have today. They come to the spot to learn that after the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 5 says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it hath done, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard it, and knew the grace of God in truth. The truth of the gospel, it is of the grace of God. What is the gospel according to our definition today? Is it having to do with a king? It's having to do with a Savior. You go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and it's interesting verses there. It tells us in the first four verses, first of all, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein ye stand. He says, I declare this gospel unto you. And so he's going to give us now a definition. He says, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sin, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. What is the gospel we preach today? The death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And thank God for it. We cannot have salvation without it. You and I, listen, he died for our sins. He paid for them on the cross. He went to the grave in many ways to prove to us that he actually had died. He was there for 3 days and three nights. And then he arose again, victorious over death. That you and I can have victory over death. There are many of us in this room. We have those that we love very deeply who are now in the presence of Jesus. And the great comfort is ours is this. We know that though they be gone from us, they are present with the Lord. And to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. We have something to be thankful for and hopeful again for. Why? Because Jesus died, he was buried, he rose again. That's the gospel. Now think about it for a moment. Why is that gospel? Well, if he died, what did he die? He died for our sin, did he not? That's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death. I thank God for the rest of that verse, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How's it eternal life? Because death did not keep him. He was raised for our justification, the Bible teaches us. And we can have eternal life. That's the gospel. This is the gospel, the glad tidings of our day. The good news is that your salvation has already been paid for. Amen? It's already been paid for. Accept the payment. And by the way, God has given you a receipt. It's already been written up. If you'll receive it, it's right here. One way he gives us that receipt, John 3:16. Can you repeat that one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Does that say might? No, very definite. It says we'll have. What do we have to do? We need to believe him. Wow. That's pretty neat stuff. That's pretty neat stuff. Teresa, can I pick on you for a little bit? I'm not even looking at you. I'm not going to find out if you want me to or not. I love my family. I'm so thankful for those that my kids have married and see some of the changes taking place in their life. And Teresa's one of those. After sitting in this church for 7 years, she finally got saved. Was it seven? We were traveling together, coming back from Pensacola, and it was them and us, and we were yakking, and I said, Teresa, I thought I preached a pretty square gospel. I thought that we made things pretty plain. Why did it take you 7 years? You know what she told me? That I wasn't listening. She said, anything became a distraction for me. If somebody moved, I was watching them. And if nothing else, she'd be thinking about what she was going to do after church. And just all sorts of things. And so people around her was a distraction. Her own mind became a distraction. But when finally she listened, because you can never believe if you don't listen. Why does God say we're to preach the gospel? Because if you don't hear it, you can't believe it. Can't believe it. You know what I saw last night? I'd never heard of this before. There's a fish. I don't even remember where it lives at. It's in the water. And this fish lays its eggs on the bottom of the ocean. And they're not very big, but they lay them on the bottom of the ocean. And there's a whole process, but she lays them on there at the male. He fertilizes them. And then you know what she does? She goes down, picks them up, and puts them in her mouth. I bet you're glad that you carried him in your tummy and not in your mouth. She picks up all those eggs, and she goes, finds a place where she can be out of sight, kind of hidden between some rocks, and will sit there for 3 weeks, doesn't eat, while those little babies grow, and they begin to hatch out of that egg. They're not even completely hatched when she starts throwing them out. She just spits them out. and they land upon the ocean. They continue their evolution of coming out of the egg. Wow. Can you believe that? You can now because you believe a God who's all-powerful, and you also believe something you just heard. Now, there's something else that's quite unusual. There's a type of catfish that actually, when they're laying their eggs, go down and try to eat all the eggs. But they don't eat all of them. But while they're doing that, they lay their own eggs amongst them. And you know what this fish does? It's some kind of a bass. That fish not only picks up her eggs, but picks up those little catfish eggs. And so she's holding these fish, her own and the catfish eggs, in her mouth for 3 weeks. And when she spits out her babies, they come out half developed, but guess what? The little catfish come out fully developed. Oh, you know what they start doing? Eating little babies. Wow. I never heard of such a thing. How would you ever believe such a thing if you never heard it? How should it hear without a preacher? I don't believe they're talking about a preacher that stands behind the pulpit. I don't think they're talking about a pastor. I think they're talking about somebody who's willing to give to them the word of God to proclaim it in their ears. And what's the gospel we have? It's not the gospel of the kingdom. That was the coming of Christ. He's at hand. He's there. The Jews rejected him. But now we have the wonderful gospel, the grace of God. Why is it grace? Because all we have to do is believe it. I told it to you. If you'll believe it, it's yours. That's what I did 54 years ago. It's exciting to know the Lord. Amen. By the way, don't tell me 19-year-olds are all stupid because I was smart enough to accept him. Well, I'm not sure in this day and age, but anyways, how old are you? Oh, God's good, amen. And so we have a message, Christian, to proclaim. They will never, ever be able to believe it if we don't tell them. They've got to hear it. You say, well, they get it off of radio or television. Well, they can. The best advertisement for Christ is the same as it is for any business. That is word of mouth. Greg, where are you at? I was talking one day. I said, I need to go to a chiropractor. The one I'd gone to was clear out in West Omaha. And I drive clear out there. He do me up. I felt good. Time I got home, I was a mess again. Just driving in the car. And Greg heard me talking. He says, well, you need to go see this guy. I can't remember his name right now, but he said, you need to go see him. And he told me how he worked on him and how he did it and so forth. And so I called him up and I went to see him. By the way, thank you, Greg. That was great advice. He's kind of old school. He's old himself. Well, he's not that old. He's only 73 or 4. And he's still doing it. Loves it. Tells me every little thing he's doing. I'm amazed as I listen to all that. Why did I go there? Because I heard it. And I believed it because of who Greg is. Now, sometimes people don't believe us because of who they see us as. So it becomes very important how we live. We're not living unto ourselves, but unto the Lord. Amen. So what are we supposed to do? Tell other people about Christ. There's a few empty chairs in here. It'd be great if you brought somebody next week. Wouldn't it be great if we had a problem, had to build some more parking? Wouldn't it be great if we had to set up a few more chairs? Or maybe even have the kids all sit on the floor up front? We could set two or three rows up back there. Everybody could watch you watching. Listen, there's people who need Christ, amen. You may be here this morning, you need Him. And the gospel of grace is, it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym, and what that's saying is basically this. Your sin's taking you straight to hell. You're going to die and be away from God. By the way, death is separation. And will be separated from your body, but you'll also be separated from God for all of eternity. If you believe in Him, guess what? The body won't be saved, it'll die, but the soul will go to be with Him. Whew. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. Is that true for you? If it's not, listen, in just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. And I don't know who you are, but God does. And either before or right after I pray, they're going to go to the piano. And they're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to stand. And when we stand up, if you need Christ your Savior, would you come right down here and talk to me? So I'll be afraid to do that. I'm afraid if you don't. Because I know what's going to happen. And so let God have His way. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the wonderful gospel of grace. Lord, thank You for what You have done for we as Gentiles. Lord, we thank You for the fact that we are even given the ability to believe by You. So, Lord, this morning I pray for any in this room, if there be one, two, or a dozen, that You would speak to their heart, they might be saved. Lord, not saved from conflict, not saved from the problems of the day, but saved in their soul from hell, from the wages of their sin. Bless and work in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.